In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Chapter 5, verse 12. The Lord gave me a word this afternoon that tonight, because of what you will receive in this place, many of us are going to experience divine shifts. So you need to add zeal to your amen. Divine shifts. That's how I heard it from the Lord. Divine shifts. It means there's going to be a displacement in the realm of the spirit. A positive displacement. Practicing principles from the word of God can only take you far. But then there are times when beyond the principles or beyond any natural phenomenon, when the hand of God can pick a man, displace him from one spot, and put him where he ought to be. And God will be glorified in Jesus' name. The warfare dimension, part 4. This is financial dominion, part 4. The warfare dimension. The warfare dimension. Financial dominion, part 4. The warfare dimension. Please, if you can, pray in the spirit for 1 minute. While you are seated, pray out loud in the spirit for 1 minute. For just 1 minute, pray in the spirit. Arabashiko torobogodes. Ilarana mashika de mayela habash. Bela hata bala gabira hasu. Erobosh kete maragadash kete retokos kata. Just edify your spirit. Baratos kita haba. Le barata babe retokopos ke paradagabasiata. Le paruzite de rokoto bahada barakitaha. Ila bahadas. Let there be a shift in my life, O God. Mahatakobasita habara. Mahataka bareketi bahasia. Sika bala radabas. Ika paria tosha. Who is like him? Lion in the land. Seated on the throne. Enamasodomo. Mountains bow down and the ocean roar to the Lord of us. Shika para te kapala di asoya. May someone's life experience a shift tonight. May someone's life experience a total turnaround. Alabate kaparusia taba. In Jesus' name. Are you ready for tonight? We are going to pray today. There's going to be a shift. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Today you will understand the spiritual dimension of prosperity. You will understand that when the indices have been well played out in the realm of the spirit, then abundance can become a reality in the manifestation, in the physical. Revelations 5 verse 12. Please be seated. I want you to follow me carefully with your heart and your ears open. 5 verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive what? And wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. 7 things in that scripture. 7 things in that scripture that must of necessity become a manifestation in the life of a believer. If at any time in your walk with God, you don't experience these 7 mysteries in your life, then your salvation is questionable. Not that I'm saying that you are not born again genuinely. I'm just saying that the benefit or the things that should manifest in your life as one who is truly born again, they are lacking. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches. That part of the salvation package was wealth and riches. Jesus did not just die for your sins to be forgiven alone. He did not die only that you will be healed. By his stripes we are healed. Part of the reason why he paid the price on the cross was to once and for all secure access for every believer that believes in his name. Access to wealth and riches in the kingdom. So it is not just that it is a reality, and it is not only that it is available, it can also be accessible. That's why we've been on this series. And those of us that are coming for the first time, I will encourage you to get the previous parts before now, so that you can clearly understand where we are now. It will be important you listen to Financial Dominion from the first part. Then you will make sense of what we're about to say tonight. But because you are here, just make sure your heart is open to receive. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive. Was slain to receive. Was slain to receive. Then the question is, why are Christians poor? If Jesus died, if he went through pain and suffering, and he died, why are we still suffering for what someone already suffered for? Am I talking to you tonight? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches. Revelations chapter 13 verse 8. John was still having revelations in the Isle of Patmos. But you know, sometimes in between the writings of these Bible authors, the Holy Spirit has a way of infusing the thoughts of God. Certain things that will become heavy truths generations after their time. All who dwell on earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. Now John was having a vision of the beast and the judgment that was going to come to the beast and those who followed the beast. Go back to that verse, please. But then somewhere in this verse is something I want to dig out for us before we proceed. It says, those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, what I want to pick out is the fact that the Bible says that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. That before God laid the foundations of the earth that he created, the Lamb of God had been slain. He had died already in eternity. That was why it was possible for him to give his life in time. But the question is, why did God put as part of the foundations of this world the blood of the Lamb? Blood signifies our redemption. Please listen tonight. I beg you to open your heart and your ears and listen tonight. Because what I'm sharing tonight are mysteries that will bring, if you catch it tonight, it will bring a total turnaround in your finances. I know it as I know my name. That the Lamb was slain from the foundations. When unbelievers want to start, set up a company, set up an enterprise, some of them dabble into magic and witchcraft and dark arts. And one of the things they will tell them to do is bury a cow, bury a chicken, bury a virgin. Bring the blood of a baby. All kinds of things that are connected to blood. Why? Because the Bible says the life of flesh is in its blood. Now, spirits, in order for them to drive into this realm, their manifestation or the reality of the realm where they dwell, they need the technology of life. Oh, follow me tonight. So if a spirit wants to manifest himself on earth in this material dimension, he needs the technology of life. He needs the life of an individual, the life of flesh that will become the energy that will power his license to operate on earth. That will become the energy that powers his legitimacy on earth. Because spirits are not meant to function legitimately in this material universe. The heavens of heavens belong to God, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. So for a spirit to come and find expression on earth, for a spiritual civilization or a spiritual being or a spiritual force to find expression on earth, they need the energy that is borrowed from a life in the flesh for them to translate and legitimately operate on earth. That's why they will say, bring a chicken, bring a cow, so that the blood of that cow or the blood of that chicken or that virgin becomes the license, the permit for their residence and their operation on earth, so that they can introduce civilizations, they can import realities from the realm of the spirit and traffic it on earth. So if a spirit of poverty will manifest in a family, he will need to do business with a man. Or he will need to one sacrifice or the other. Then the energy that is generated from that is what they will use to plague a particular family. Now the Bible says that if that is how demons operate at the foundations of anything that will exist on earth, the Bible says this technology was borrowed from God. It says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundations. And the Bible tells us that the earth is full of the goodness of God. This earth is full of so much riches. When God made the earth, he blessed it. When God made creation, he blessed it initially in Genesis. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Natural resources, vegetation, think of it. If you riches anything that will serve for demonstrating what true riches are is embedded in the earth. I don't have time to take you through Job chapter 28. And the Bible says, what is the lamb who was slain to receive? And then in that chapter 13 where we read, he said that the lamb was slain from the foundations. That means part of the foundation of this earth that we are living in was the blood of redemption. So before God created the earth, he had already initiated the process of redemption. So that anyone that is a heir of redemption, a heir of salvation, can have access or become an owner by right to anything that comes from the earth. Are you? No, you didn't. You missed that. You missed it. Let me say it again. You missed it. Truly, you missed it. Let me say it again. Oh, God. That before God created the earth and all the riches he invested in the earth, in the realm of the spirit, he had initiated the process of redemption. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive. Now, those who will become heirs of salvation, which you and I are, on the strength of redemption, which was initiated before the earth was created, it means that God has given us dominion and ownership to anything that proceeds from the earth that can make a man wealthy. Did you get it now? That is why when he was to form the man, he formed him out of where? The dust of the ground. Because God foresaw that Satan was going to enter that garden. deceive man and collect the dominion. So even before that satanic plan, before the earth was created, he initiated redemption. There was a sacrifice that went on in the realm of the spirit before the earth was created. Just like a businessman will bury cows before he starts up his company, so that everybody working in that company don't know that they are powered by a spirit agency. So that all the wealth that they will garner is being routed to a spiritual facility deployed underground. The same thing God did. So that when you and I are saved, we will realize that before God created the earth, he sealed our dominion over finances. Are you here tonight? Because we are going to pray some prayers. So there has to be a shift in somebody's life this night. You know, I told you that I took my time to study the word of God about prosperity. These were the things I discovered. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and he was slain even before the foundations of the world. If he was slain, it was so that I can enjoy everything that God invested in the earth. But the question is, why don't we see these things manifest? In as much as we know that these things are available in the kingdom, wealth and riches are a reality. As a matter of fact, even before the earth was created, I just prove it to you now that God has sealed our dominion over financial resources. But why do we know that these things are available and yet they are not accessible? Why are the manifestations of these things not imminent in our life? That is because in the kingdom, listen carefully. It is one thing for you to know that God has made everything available on the platform of redemption. But accessing those things is an understanding you must come into. That means that there is a role that you and I has to play. And in playing that role, we must first of all understand how the kingdom of God operates. That the kingdom of God is ruled and governed by laws and mysteries. These mysteries are what Paul calls the hidden wisdom of God. It's a technology that exists in God that gives you access to lay hold of things that are already a reality and that are yours in the kingdom. One of such mysteries is the fact that in the kingdom, for you to advance or for you to lay hold on any reality, it has to be through the motion of force. The Bible says in Matthew 11 verse 12 that from the days of John the Baptist up till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. I think in NIV, it puts it this way. It says that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. Forcefully advancing. That as far as advancement is concerned in the kingdom, as far as making progress in keeping with the original blueprint of God for your life as touching redemption, as far as laying hold of everything that God has made available for you, especially financial resources, coming into the place of financial dominion, dominion over material and financial resources, you must understand that there is a deployment of force that is necessary. That in this kingdom, things will not just come to you served on a golden tray. No, you must take it by force. It says, forceful men lay hold of it. When the Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand, the word at hand there in the original Arabic transliteration, because you know in New Testament, the writings of Jesus were in Aramaic, the sayings of Jesus were in Aramaic, but other portions of the New Testament were written in Greek. But most of the sayings of Jesus were in Aramaic. So when the Bible says, when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, in the original Aramaic, the illustration that best fits or explains that word at hand is the illustration of a motorcycle that has the throttle, the accelerator at the hand, isn't it? So for you to accelerate, you need to keep moving that handle. So when it says the kingdom of God is at hand, it's saying that your access and your laying hold of all that the kingdom has available for you is going to be based on the deployment of your own participation at hand your active participation and partnership with God. That God has done his part, saving you and bringing you to the kingdom. But how far you will go is determined by you. That is the reason why Paul cried to the Ephesian church that God will grant them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. It is important that you sustain the understanding. So it has to be by force. Even though it is yours in the kingdom, there is a level of force that must be engaged. You have a major part to play to ensure that these things become accessible and become a reality. Isaiah 45 from verse 1 to 3, he says, thus says the Lord to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. He says, I will go before you and make the crooked ways straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Then, after this level of conquest, notice that verse 2 depicts force. But verse 2 depicts a battle situation. Verse 2 depicts warfare. I will go before you and cut in sunder the bars of iron. That means there is a resistance, an opposition that you must counter, that you must come against. He said, when I am through with that, in verse 3, he says, then I will give you treasures of darkness. So, what is keeping you from accessing those treasures, those secret or hidden riches in secret places, are the bars of iron, the gates, the formidable resistance that the enemy has placed ahead of you. That between you and your promised land, between you and those resources, between you and your reality of financial dominion, there are oppositions you will come against. So you will need to apply warfare to come against those gates, to tear those gates in pieces, to cut asunder those bars of iron. Until there is conquest, you cannot lay hold of the treasures. Because treasures are not kept in the open. They are kept in vaults. They are locked and stored up. Every king will put the last and strongest line of defense around his treasures. So I will go before you. And I like that the Bible says he had to anoint him. He said, my anointed Cyrus. Brothers and sisters, there is a spiritual dimension to attaining financial dominion. After you have practiced all the principles and all the laws, we have learned so much over the last few weeks. Brothers and sisters, there is a spiritual side to it. And that side will only be unveiled when you begin to understand the language of warfare. Warfare. Psalms 105 verse 37. He says he brought them out with silver and gold. He brought them out. They didn't come out by themselves. He brought them out of captivity with silver and gold. He brought them out because they were under the clutches of Egypt. They were in slavery. They were bounded to slavery. And so it took the mighty and the forceful hand of God to wage war against Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt, to subdue them and then bring out his children. Otherwise, they would have kept walking for years. As at the time they left Egypt, it was already 430 years of slavery. So there are many families under the slavery of poverty. There are many individuals, though born again and speaking in tongues and knowing that these things are available in Christ Jesus, yet their life is but a mockery to what it is supposed to be in the kingdom. God had to intervene. The Bible says he brought them out. Doesn't it interest you to know that in Psalm 68 verse 6, the Bible says he brings the bound into prosperity. He brings those who are bound. One very, very strong prison in this life is poverty and lack. Believe me, poverty is a force. Poverty is a spirit, is a cause. Poverty is maybe after Satan. That should be the next evil thing. It can limit the destiny of a man. He said he brings out the bound into prosperity. So don't think that he was talking about physical chains. No, he was talking about the chains of lack and poverty. Great destinies, but they were bounded by poverty. Great dreams and aspirations, bounded by poverty. He brings the bound into prosperity. Hear this. God's mandate for man, as we see Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, is dominion. God said, subdue and have dominion. Whether it is dominion over spirits, dominion over sickness, dominion over systems, dominion over resources, all round dominion. Early this year we did the dominion systems of the kingdom. God's original mandate for man is dominion. But it is important for you to know that there cannot be dominion without subjugation. Subjugation is the word subdue. Before you can attain into dominion, there are forces you must contend with and subdue. One must be brought under subjugation, brought under subjection for you to attain dominion. Number two, subjugation is only possible when contention has been successful. Subjugation, to subdue, can only be possible when contention has been successful. For one to overpower the other, he must need to contend with the same. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 24, you remember God was speaking to them through Moses. He told them, he says, I have given you Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. I have given it to you. What did he say? Go and claim it? No. There's a difference between claiming and possessing in the kingdom. To claim means the battles have been fought. Subjugation has been attained and it is no longer contested as your own. Then at any time you can go and claim it. In the kingdom, you don't claim the promises, you possess it. You possess it. You don't need to claim it because the Bible says the promises of God are yea and amen. From his realm, they are already settled. But for it to translate into your life, he says, we have been blessed with every blessing, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But you don't need it here. You need it here. There must be warfare. Possession is a warfare term. For you to possess, you must subdue. Go back to Deuteronomy 2:24. It says, begin to possess it and engage him in battle. It is yours if you are able to fight and defeat the enemy. Subdue the enemy and gain control over it. Then it will be yours. Financial dominion is your reality, brothers and sisters. As a matter of fact, it was sealed by redemption. That you should, the Bible says, wealth and riches are in his house. That you should walk in control, total control over lack, over poverty, total control over resources, and not resources controlling or dictating for you. But for you to enter into it fully, you must understand the place of warfare. Psalm 68 verse 17 to 18. What does he say? It says the chariots of God. Aha, this is warfare again. Chariots are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. You will understand by reading the next verse. He said, you have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. For you to lead captivity captive, you must have subdued captivity. Captivity is a spirit. Captivity was not talking about a people. No, it's a spirit. Captivity is called the prince of the power of the air. You will find that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 and Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. He said he led captivity. That was the devil, the prince of darkness. The one that had rule over man. The one that collected. Remember when he met Jesus in the wilderness, one of the temptations was he took Jesus to a mountain and he showed him all the glories of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he told him, all these are mine and have been given to me. So for you to take what the devil stole from the first Adam, there must be warfare. He led captivity captive. Then he said, you have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Subjugation is only possible when contention has been successful. What is spiritual warfare? First of all, let me give you a thorough definition of spiritual warfare. Then we'll now go to the very belly of this message and pray. Spiritual warfare is the art of contending with spirit beings. Spiritual warfare is the art of contending with spirit beings, comma, forces. Now, these forces can be either a league of spirits or demonic mysteries concord together or concocted together by the kingdom of darkness against a man. Spiritual warfare is the art of contending with spirit beings, forces, or agencies through the deployment of divine strategies. For the purpose of establishing victories that make for the rising, progress, and advancement. That make for the rising, progress, and advancement of an individual in life. So let me run through it again. Powerful definition of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the art of contending with spirit beings, spiritual forces or agencies through the deployment of divine strategies. In spiritual warfare, it is not by strength, it is by strategy. Psalms 144 verse 1, it says, blessed be the God of my strength. Oh, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands to fight and my fingers to battle. Strategies. The deployment of divine strategies. These strategies are the mysteries of the kingdom. And when they are deployed for the purpose of establishing victories that make for the rising, the progress and advancement of an individual in life. The reason why I said that they are for the establishing of victories is because the first understanding you must have in spiritual warfare is that we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Because when Jesus hung on the cross, he spoiled principalities and powers. The battle has been won in the realm of the spirit. But you need to establish the benefits and the manifestation of that victory. That is the reason why your contention and spiritual warfare is not to secure another victory. No, it's only to establish a victory that aforetime has been made possible for you through the work of Jesus on the cross. That's why he says, resist the devil. He has defeated the devil already. But he says, resist him. It's like you tie a man. And then you call another person and say, make sure this man remains tied. Have you not heard of jailbreak before? Prison break. Criminals were arrested and put in prison. And they broke out. Have you heard of it before? It was because somebody was careless enough not to ensure that the one who had been captured remained captured. So what we are doing in spiritual warfare is the continuation of what Jesus has already done to establish that victory in your life. In Luke chapter 11, verse 22 to 23, Jesus said, 22-23, Jesus said, verse 21 rather, when you read from verse 21, he said, a strong man keeps his good in place, fully armed. Notice he says fully armed, guards his own palace and his goods in peace. Who is the strong man? The devil. Who is the house? Human beings. Remember what we read in Psalms? He brings the bound into prosperity. These are human beings that the devil has kept bound. Destinies that the devil has kept bound in poverty. He says a strong man will keep them safe and the goods. Notice he uses, go back to that verse please. He uses the house first, then the goods. So keep the individual and all the potentials that he or she has to be wealthy in the spirit. Keep both of them bound. So many of you are seated now looking at me or following online, that God has already, even before you were created, invested inside of you secret strategies, skills by which you should attain financial dominion and then use you as a leverage to rescue many others out of that kingdom of darkness to the place of wealth. But the Bible says a strong man will keep the individual and the potentials bound. But in verse 22 rather, it says when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. So you must learn to bind the strong man. There are forces, spiritual agencies, saddled with the responsibility of ensuring that poverty and lack stamps shame and reproach on the destinies of people. If you don't believe it before, believe it today, that poverty is a spirit, is a strategy by hell to ensure that the believers don't come into the fruition or the fullness of their destiny. The devil knows that God has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. But for so long as you are bound by the force of poverty, there is no way you will see the manifestation of the same. A strong man. This strong man can be a force over a family, can be a force over a territory. Remember Zechariah chapter 1. It says, true prosperity from verse 17. True prosperity shall my cities be yet spread abroad. Next verse. The moment he mentioned prosperity, he said, I saw four horns. What were horns doing there? Just because God said it is by prosperity that the future of my cities, the future, and you know who the cities are. For ye have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The cities, you and I. Through prosperity shall your destinies be spread abroad. Through prosperity shall your kingdom mandate, your divine mandate, be spread to the nations. How will the nations hear your voice from here to the ends of the earth? It takes financial resources. It takes power over resources to ensure that that kingdom dream becomes a reality. Next thing you see is horns. And why did the horns rise up? He said they spread themselves over Judah so that no one will lift up their horns. When the devil knows that God has kept in your future, the future of your destiny, financial dominion. Some of you looking at me here, the wealth that God has already designed for you to have. And I'm not lying, because you have seen it in your dreams. You have seen it in your revelation. Some of you, even last night, why am I always seeing myself with money? Some of you see yourself with gold. Some of you always see yourself doing things that in the physical, you don't even have the empowerment to do. Why? You have become a system in God's plan in eternity. God has made you not a human being, but a system by which he will bring many people out of poverty, out of lack, into prosperity. That through your life, God will bring the fulfillment of the dream of several people.
Some of you are saviors that are rising from Mount Zion. Saviors that will rise and change the destiny of a family.
And then the Bible says horns rose up. When Satan knows what is ahead of you, he will fight you. He will give it his best shot. It's only believers. You know, this is our complacent mentality. The way we treat the work of God. Lack of passion. Complacency. It has affected even our spiritual work with God. That we don't understand seasons of warfare. When you should know that between where you are now and the future manifestation, you have to be aggressive enough to contend with the contender. The Bible says the violent take it by force. That you wake up from your spiritual slumber and decide that what the word of God says concerning my life must become a reality and a manifestation. And I will not stop until I see it happen. You sit down there and allow the devil bind you with poverty and lack. Several destinies will not live to see the light of day. Some of you, as I look at you in the spirit, I see people who will be building churches. You know, with the cost of construction right now. In fact, in Western nations now, if you are building a church, it is important that you build what they call a bomb shelter. Is that true? A bomb shelter. That means that it is a part of the church where it is immune to explosives, bombs, and all of those things. Oh, you don't know. You think it's just to hit, put blocks and all of that. If they fire a missile here, we are in trouble. The way this building is. So churches now in Western nations, they even build basements. So that if there is an airstrike or there is war within the land and there are explosive fire flying here and there, they can go down to that basement and they have all their kits ready to be sure that they will live through that season. Pastor David Ibiome of Salvation Ministries, one of the breakthroughs he received recently was a church in the United States gave him such a facility, free of charge, worth millions of dollars. Some of you, it's your destiny to build like that. There are some parts, some third world nations that are dying in sin and poverty. It will take men that have entered into that financial dominion to bring relief to those nations. As you can see in our world today, crisis everywhere, on the rampage. So humanitarian, you know, whatever is increasing by the day. It's becoming overwhelming for government. It's even becoming overwhelming for United Nations and other people. Why can't God raise people amongst us here that will single-handedly? Recently, an actor was crying that he was sick or something and they were going to amputate his leg. One man stood up and cleared all his bills. Unfortunately, the man is a Muslim. And the actor is a Christian. You browse online and check, you will see what I'm talking about. Abdul Samad Rabiu, that's the owner of what they call that cement, Boa Group. As at this week, he was added to the Bloomberg's list of world billionaires. He was added to Dangote. Guess what? Last week, I saw a news that he gave $2.5 million for the reconstruction of the mosque in Zaria. You don't hear all those news. Well, what are you hearing? TikTok. 2.5 million, verify it, browse it. $2.5 million last week for the renovation and reconstruction of the mosque in Zaria. This week, he went back. What's the connection? When you see me shout like this, it's because God, the army that God is raising in the end time is not an army of swords and spears and guns. It's an army with resources that can cage the devil till Jesus come. Some of you will be empowered to sponsor 5 crusades at once. In fact, that will be your birthday. Your birthday is in December. Say, okay, I'm sponsoring 5 crusades everywhere. And then each crusade is saving 1,000 souls. You give God 5,000 souls. Which devil will come and take your life? Which devil? They're not born and well. If you get two heads, you don't get two livers. What did God say about Abraham? He suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my... That is when you are useful to the kingdom that that statement can become a reality. That statement was not for men of God. No, no. Because it was a nation that was moving. It was a company of prophets. Men that had been consecrated to God. God had found a people that could perform his purpose on the earth. He said, touch not my anointed. Are you ready to pray this night? You must be ready to fight. There are several instances of how by warfare men experience wealth transfer in the kingdom. Actually, in 2020, during the COVID, God gave me a revelation. I had an encounter with God and he gave me a revelation. And in that revelation, he showed me seven dimensions for wealth transfer in the end time. Kingdom wealth transfer. And one of it is warfare. One day when, by the grace of God, we are ready for it, we can deal with the other six. Because he says that the wealth of the hidden will be laid up. So there are instances in scripture where by warfare, there was a conversion of resources. For instance, in Genesis chapter 20, the Bible says when Abraham and Sarah entered the land of the Philistines, Abimelech took the wife of Abraham. And then God came and plagued the house of Abimelech. God declared war against Abimelech. So strong was that battle that Abimelech did not just return Sarah. The Bible says he gave Abraham gifts, cattle, sheep, and other things. And then most of all, the Bible says he gave Abraham 1,000 pieces of silver for Sarah. It's like, sorry for taking your wife. A woman, they didn't even touch you. Sorry for taking your wife. So he paid bride price and returned the woman. And when I was calculating this afternoon, 1,000 pieces of silver in today's money is $826,000, which is 827 million naira. Bride price. Now which? What do you call that? That's wealth by warfare. Because if the hand of God was not strong on the house of Abimelech, he won't do that. That some of you, there's a grace that needs to come on your life today that will compel favor from people around you. Look at what the Bible says of Esther, chapter 2, verse 15. That Esther had found favor in the sight of everyone who set eyes on her. It was like charm. Anyone who saw her must favor her. You need to start walking in that reality. Because poverty is one of the strategies the enemy has deployed against the church in the last days. In Exodus chapter 12, when God had judged the gods of Egypt and Pharaoh, the Bible says that Pharaoh was the one who supervised the transfer of gold and silver from the children of from the Egyptians to the children of Israel. It was the one who said, go, go, take everything you want to go, go, and pray for God to bless me. And the Bible says in verse 36 that they spoiled the Egyptians. That word spoil is a warfare term. To spoil means you conquer the enemy, then you gather his supplies that he wanted to use for war and return back. A spoil. In 2 Kings chapter 7, remember when the Syrians surrounded Samaria and there was famine in Samaria. Elisha gave a prophetic word by this time tomorrow. The Bible says that four lepers were on their way to the camp of the Syrians. And God made the Syrians to hear the voice of their footstep or the noise of their footstep like the noise of chariots. So they thought that the Israelites had gathered soldiers from other nations against them. Mercenaries of warfare. The Bible says they ran away. So physically there was no war. But in the realm of the spirit, there was war. Because when Syria placed a siege against Samaria, it was war already that they declared. So much that people were dying for lack of food. If not by warfare,
How else can God remedy a family's destiny? How else can God? Some of you have people who have died in your family, loved ones who died, not because they couldn't be well, but maybe because there was no money for a surgery. Some of them, because of 2.5 million, 4.5 million, 7 million naira, they could not go for a surgery that would save their life. And that was the sibling that had the greatest and the most promising destiny that could do something that would salvage the family. Now, because of lack of resources, the person died. And if you don't do anything about it, the devil will come for you too. Because the devil doesn't have new tricks. He only recycles. If he sees that poverty has been prevalent in this family, if he sees that because of poverty, generations in this family have compromised their faith. Brother, you are the fifth generation. He's coming with the same strategy, the same. You need to arm yourself with your battle kits and be ready to fight that spirit of poverty and take what belongs to you by force. Who told you must remain poor? Who told you there is a certain age you must get to before you become so blessed? You don't have eternity to fulfill God's destiny for your life. I want to show you how to fight. Three strategies and we'll pray. Three effective strategies to wage a good warfare for financial dominion. This, by these strategies, that you can manipulate the realm of the spirit and redeploy the resources. Oh, I love that word, redeploy. You know what it means to redeploy? Something was taken to another place and then it was posted back. For you to be able to redeploy into your life the treasures. I read that scripture, treasures of darkness. Before I go to these strategies, can I share something with you? God has shown me, I've seen this one in visions, that there are satanic storehouses, that there are banking systems in the kingdom of darkness where the wealth and the destiny of the saints are stored. You have to believe this one. I've been in deliverance ministry for a little while. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. That there is a system in the kingdom of... Remember, the thief cometh but to steal. Even Jesus acknowledged that he steals. Even thieves have where they keep what they steal. Yes or no? There is a system in the kingdom of... Believe this, I'm telling you. There is a system in the kingdom of darkness by which a man can be robbed of his resources, robbed of his destiny, robbed of his glory. It is his, but he can be robbed of it. Just because there is police station does not mean robbers don't operate. And I hope you heard the robbery incident that happened recently. Three banks, and those robbers were very funny robbers. The first thing they did was went to the police station and brought it down so that we can operate. If it is happening physically, it is happening spiritually every day. That demons stationed in families and the lives of individuals and in territories are going about robbing people. That the wealth of many families, many dynasties are hidden somewhere. That there is a satanic storage system. There is a demonic warehouse somewhere. Treasures are being kept in darkness. These strategies I will show you is the know-how to recovery. You heard the song they sang. Come receive the harvest for those who sow in tears. Help me now.
He's rewriting your story now. He's redeeming it.
How will God redeem the years that the canker worm has stolen, that the enemy has eaten up? Some of you are here for the past 10 years. You've been doing everything just to survive. Nothing is working.
I want to show you four powerful strategies. That if you can engage these strategies by warfare, you will know that miracle is stronger than magic. Number one. You know in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, Paul told Timothy, say this charge I give to you, Timothy, of the prophecies that have gone ahead of you, that with them you might war a good warfare. How do you engage spiritual warfare? For the recovery and the redeployment of the resources that God has made available for you. Number one, the decree strategy. The decree strategy. Do you know that decree is a strategy of war? Decree. Decrees are edicts or laws that are passed governing a people or a system. Decrees. Job 22:28 says, you shall decree a thing. In other words, a decree is supposed to be irrevocable. It's like a sanction, sealed with the authority of the bearer. He said, you will also decree. King James Version says that you shall decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee. You want to enter financial dominion? You want to experience an immeasurable flow of resources? You want to live in increase, multiplication, overflow? You want to walk in abundance of resources? If it is true as it is written in the Word of God, I want to see it in my life. Then you must understand the strategy of decrees. You will decree a thing and it shall be established. Many people grumble, but they don't decree. Many people complain, but they don't understand how to take advantage of decrees. When you decree, you are coming under the authority and the seal of God's government. You are invoking the power of the highest. That was what Angel Gabriel did over Mary. How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? He said, the Spirit of God shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. When you operate with decrees, you are using what I call, you are standing from where I call the throne room perspective. You are drawing authority and power from the throne room in the third heavens, and you are placing a sentence that must be obeyed by principalities and powers. You shall decree a thing. You must learn to decree over your life. Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. A man's belly. In other words, that your life will be sustained, or your life will be as a product of the words of your mouth. The fruit of your mouth are your words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from where? Even God understands it. How did God create the earth? He used raw materials? No. Through faith, Hebrews 11:3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Decrees. Decrees. When was the last time you passed decrees over your family's financial state in prayer? How many things did you decree over your life in conjunction with the scripture when you entered this year? When you crossed from the first half of the year to the second half, how many spiritual decrees are hovering over your life? It looks cheap, but it's a powerful mystery. I was preparing for BPI yesterday. The Lord led me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to take anointing oil and anoint my eyes and ears, and declare that I have the seeing eye and the hearing ears. It looked foolish, but I did it. I took oil, anointed my eyes and ears, and decreed it over my life and prayed in tongues. You saw how the prophetic moved yesterday. Decree. Decrees. How does God fight with decrees? Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with him. and he shall eat the fruit of his labor. How do you fight against sickness? I shall not die, but live. It's a decree. It's a decree. Psalms 2 verse 7 says, I will declare the decree. Declare the decree means look for what God has said about you and begin to prophesy it. Keep declaring. I remember years ago when I would, when they dash me small money, I'll spray it on the ground. Or if I do something and small money comes, I'll put it on the ground and march on it and begin to prophesy that I will walk on financial resources. I will walk on gold. That wealth will serve me. Huh? Declare that the wealth of kings will come to me. That God will put problems in the life of people and put the solution in my mouth. It looks foolish, but that's where I am now. If nothing takes you to your expected end, let your decrees take you there. You don't stop speaking until you see it manifest. You don't stop. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 3. And God said. Verse 5, I believe. And God said. Keep going like that. And God said. Verse 11. And God said. He kept saying till verse 31, I believe, where he said, and God saw that it was good. He kept saying until it became a reality. Then he saw. You are waiting to see it. No. Speak it to see it. Decrease. Number two, the prayer strategy. Kalabakoshi katabaya. Andre mekobra skita vala hashkabra. The prayer strategy. The prayer strategy. Many people don't know that prayer. Oh God. When the Bible says, with God all things are possible, it is my belief and opinion that he was saying when engaged in the place of prayer. I believe God was speaking in context of prayer. Prayer is such a strategy by the Spirit that you can use it to frame your realities. You can use it to carve out what you want God to do. You can use it to carve exactly what you want to see. Are we together here? 1 Corinthians 16, I will read it verse 9 first and then I'll read verse 8. Paul said, for a great and effectual door is opened unto me. That's verse 9. But there are many adversaries. So one thing I will tell you is, I've discovered this by the Spirit, that every time you are to migrate as far as wealth is concerned from one level to another, whether you are aware or not, you are going to experience some form of warfare. You didn't catch it. Can I share a testimony with you? When God shifted me to the millionaire realm, I've shared it here again and again. I was in a season of prayer. I'd been praying from the beginning of the year up till that time. That was 18th of January. I went to sleep. I had 88 naira in my account. While I was asleep, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw three men standing. Two people, two amongst them, they looked like chiefs. And then the other one was just by the side. And I don't know the discussion these two men were having. But when they finished, they spoke to the third man. The third man happens to be one of my uncles. As a matter of fact, he's the richest in our clan. Huh? And I beg to say, he's the only one that is rich. Maybe plus me now. Amen. Because I'm not poor now. I'm not poor. No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not. Why do I know? Money is not driving anything I'm doing now. I've never compromised or... What's the word you will use now? Take advantage of people for money. Never. since I started this work. They spoke to that man and said, let's give it to him. It was like they imposed the statement on the man. They said, let's give it to him. When I woke up from that dream, the following day, I saw 2.something million in my account. That was the beginning of that realm. Prior to that time, I had sown seeds, done everything. Everything you know that you can do physically to make sure money multiplies. I've done it. But it was as if I was hanging around a realm. Listen to this story. Now, I'm not saying that you should go and sleep and you will see any dream. No. No. See, spiritual strategies don't take away your obedience or your compliance with natural laws. I'm doing something for a living. I hope you know. In fact, several things. One of what I'm doing is what I'm doing now. For instance, somebody testifies here that they were healed of kidney disease. Huh? Go and ask how much is dialysis for one day. Then an anointing can heal that disease at once. And you tell me it's nothing. If it's nothing, go and heal the person now. So don't go and sleep like me. Oh. No. You must make sure you are making impact. You must be busy. From that day, it shifted. And I discovered that every time I enter a season of spiritual warfare and attain victory, part of the manifestation of the victory will be my finances. It was the same thing that happened in a particular season. And then I broke out into foreign currency. Again and again and again and again. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9, a great and effectual door is open. Every time you are about to rise financially, get ready for attacks. Get ready for battles. Let me just tell you. If Satan will not fight on any ground, he will fight on a financial ground. In fact, sickness is a strategy of poverty. I hope you know. Drain them of their resources. Then either the person dies or the person just becomes well. It's better the person dies. But now that the person is well, well and broke. 1 Corinthians 16:9. It says, for an effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now, verse 8 says, but I will tarry in Ephesus until. The word tarry means to wait, but the word tarry is also used figuratively by scriptures for prayers. He said, I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? Because a great and effective door has been opened to me, but there are adversaries. I'm in a season of spiritual warfare. Why am I not seeing a free flow of finances? Why do I start projects and stop at a point? A great and effective door has been opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. It takes strategic prayers, strategic warfare. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will lead you to pray some prayers. There are seasons in my life the Holy Ghost will lead me to pray some dangerous kinds of prayers. So to do some kinds of things. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will say, pray nothing less than 6 hours for the next 6 days. And then I will go to sleep one of those days and have a dream. Anytime I have that dream, I know it's a new realm of financial possibilities. It's either I see money given to me or I see money coming or something. Most times when I wake up from that dream, is a new realm. I will see instant manifestations, and people around me begin to experience that increase. How did we get our land as a ministry? You know how difficult it is to get landed properties in the north? If you don't know how difficult, go and try it. Go and buy. They will inflate the price because they don't want to sell to a Christian. We did everything. And then, you know, the problem of moving from one venue to another. Then one day in July, I was praying. God said, you need a land? I said, yes. We didn't even have up to 600,000 that time. and land will cost millions. I didn't know it was a dimensional shift. In my prayers, God led me. He says, gather everything you and the ministry have and plant it as a sacrifice. When I gathered everything I had, the ministry had, it was 1 million exactly. 1 million exactly. No plus, no minus. Now, that strategy came in prayer. The reason why people sow and don't reap is because either they don't do it with faith or they are not doing it as led by the Spirit. I gathered that money, we sold to a ministry that wanted to buy a land of 20 million. That was in July. In August, somebody amongst us showed us a land. That person had been with us for 2 years, 3 years. Never spoke of the land. The next month, he said, I will tarry. Are you ready to pray this night? Let me give you the last two and then we'll just close and pray. Number three, the thanksgiving strategy. Jeremiah 30 verse 19. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be small. I will glorify them, and they shall not be few. Thanksgiving. Do you know that thanksgiving multiplies the resources around your life? Grumbling and complaining depletes a man's state of existence. How did Jesus multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He lifted it up and did what? Grumbled, gave thanks. Can I teach you one strategy this night? I didn't hear your yes, so I won't say it. Write down all your needs or all your plans. Quantify their amount. Then keep it before God and go on a thanksgiving and praises spree. And when you are done doing the thanksgiving and praise, or whenever the Spirit of God leads you to finish, when you are done, forget about it. I'm telling you what has worked for me recently. I don't to show you how that is a mystery. I don't have a scripture for it yet, but it will work. And they tell you thanksgiving. In Yola, in July, when I wanted to travel to Yola, that's what God did to me. I had many things I wanted to do. The Holy Spirit spoke to me one day while I was praying. He said, write everything down with the money. I wrote. It was 1 million plus. I said, hey! Then he said, put it before me and dance. Thank me. I did that first day, second day, third day. It was an explosion. Before the end of the month, I ticked everything done. Everything ticked done with an extra. Because that's how God provides. He gives an extra. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, from verse 20 to 21 to 25, all they did was to give thanks to God. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Next thing, the Bible says, when they went to the battlefield, the enemies were all dead. All they did was to carry the spoils. And the spoils were so much in verse 25 that it took them 3 days. Imagine it takes you 3 days to gather riches. For 3 days, from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., you are gathering. What kind of wealth transfer was that? All you know how to do is complain and grumble, and you are worried, and worries and anxiety only give high blood pressure that leads to depression and death. Learn to thank Him. Thanksgiving. Bishop Oyedepo said a family went to sleep. All they had for dinner one night was water. They said, Father, thank you for this water. They went to sleep. The next day when they opened their door, 2 bags of rice were there. Nobody gives thanks to God. Nobody is a praiser and doesn't experience increase. Psalm 65 verse 5 to 7. He said, let the people praise Him. Oh, let the people praise Him. He said, and the earth will yield her increase. He said, and God, even God, shall bless us. It's a strategy of warfare. There are battles you fight with thanksgiving. There are battles you fight with praise. You want to travel out of the country. You've done everything possible. You even pray and fasting. Nothing is working. Put that passport there and dance around it. And then allow the Father of Spirits to go and flog whoever is in that embassy that is in charge of your visa. One of our young men told me he spent 28 minutes at American Embassy. 28 minutes and came out with visa. That when he came out, the people were already pitying him. They said, they don't bank. You know American Embassy? You can get visa anywhere, but that place is a stronghold. I'm telling you, go and try it. I was told one of our fathers in the faith, I'll not mention his name, they bounced in 3 times. It was this year they gave him. So you now that you just failed once or twice, you are there feeling like God has forgotten you. That's an anointed man. If I mention the name here, you will not believe. Thanksgiving. And then finally, the prophetic strategy. The prophetic strategy. Hosea 12 verse 13 says, by prophets he brought them out of Egypt, and by prophet they were preserved. By prophets. When you are in seasons of warfare and you need a shift around your resources, I'm not talking to lazy people. No. I'm saying people who are hardworking and practicing all the other laws. And you know there has to be a shift. I need to finish this house this year. I need to finish this project by May next year. I need to do this. I need resources. I need a shift, an enlargement. You have practiced everything, including the first 3 strategies, and it's not working. Brother, engage the prophetic. There is a prosperity anointing that follows the prophetic. The person doesn't have to be a prophet. He just has to hear from God part-time. There is a prosperity anointing that follows the prophetic. Believe it. Believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe his prophet. So 2 ways. Number 1 is either you receive and actively engage the word, the prophetic word that comes either from God or from his servant. You know, he says he confirms the word of his servants and performs the counsel of his messengers. It's either you receive by faith and engage that word by obedience, or when go, no go. Look for the go. And practice the law of honor. Now, let me share a testimony. I think I can share this testimony now. In July this year, remember when we're doing foundational deliverance, and when we finished foundational deliverance, God told me there is poverty to be dealt with in the foundation of people's families and even in the territory where you are. There was something God showed me in the realm of the spirit, and he told me that people don't prosper beyond this point, the kingdom way, within your territory. So there are laws you must engage. The next day, God spoke to me and gave me a very strong instruction. Notice my personal testimonies. I will always tell you God spoke, isn't it? Emphasis on that. God spoke to me. I gathered all the money we had as a ministry. 6 zeros. Then I gathered my own in dollars. And I traveled and went to another city. God said, go to that man of God, drop the seed. No need to meet him, just drop the seed and go back, and I'll tell you what to do. When I dropped that seed, my hand was shaking. You know, there are some seeds you carry, some Isaacs you carry. No devil can stand in your front. Believe in his prophets. I dropped it there and walked out of that place. When I was walking out, I was feeling light. No, you don't understand. You know, people say pastors eat church money. It's God that will judge those people on the last day. Some things happened that week in my revelation. But after that day, I noticed a shift in my finances and in the ministry. One of the things that happened was that God began to open doors for international partners, both to my life and to the ministry. From that day till today, I have seen results financially. even in the grace for healing, it intensified. I will not tell you where I went to. Even in deliverance, I noticed that my authority shifted. The prophetic, very powerful. So sometimes you may need to find somebody, God may need to send you to somebody and covenant yourself to that person or honor that person. Or he may give you a prophetic strategy. Go and do this to this person. Go and do this to this ministry. And then several things begin to happen around your life. Are you ready to pray now? Rise on your feet. Four strategies. Number one, the decree. Number two, prayers. Number three, thanksgiving. Number four, the prophetic. In the next 2 minutes, you are going to pray. You are going to arrest every foundation of poverty and lack around your life. Are you ready to pray? Are we ready to pray today? Let me tell you something. The prayer against poverty, I'm not saying that prayer is what brings money. I'm saying prayer is what opens up the strategies of the spirit by which you can enter into financial prosperity. Are you hearing me? Warfare prayers on this line, you don't pray it pitying yourself. In fact, when I went to that city to drop that seed, I had to be praying non-stop 7 hours every day for 3 days. Just praying in tongues. Lock yourself in one room and pray. You see, when you are dealing with foundational matters, that you don't spare. Look at the kind of prayer Jesus prayed in the wilderness that brought the devil to him. Look at the prayer Jesus prayed shortly before he went to the cross. Had he not prayed like that, he would have died on the way. And the Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. If he had died on the ground, he wouldn't have carried our curse and sin on himself. The Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, he prayed with strong and vehement cries. When you are arresting financial issues that are rooted in your foundations, you have to be aggressive in prayer, let me tell you. Nobody will pray that prayer for you. Only you will pray it. I hope you notice that in all my testimony, I didn't say spiritual father did anything for me. Jephthah said, I took my life in my hands. You need to learn to wrestle. You need to learn the art. If you don't know warfare, you are not ready for the possibilities of the kingdom. But in the next 2 minutes, you are going to stand on behalf of your family, on behalf of your destiny, and attack every foundation of poverty and lack to its root. Lift your voice wherever you are. In 2 minutes. The way you are praying, the way you are praying cannot really amount to much. Every stubborn cycle, every stubborn season, every stubborn pattern of lack, of poverty, I am hardworking. I am a kingdom practitioner. But why do I keep going in cycles? I want you to raise your voice and cry. Every force, every root of attack it tonight, arrest it tonight by the power in the name of Jesus. What is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches. Yahweh, you are glorious, so glorious.
Say after me in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I decree and declare.
I decree and declare.
By divine authority.
By divine authority.
That from today.
That from today.
I superimpose.
I superimpose.
Over my life.
Over my life.
And my destiny.
And my destiny.
My family.
My family.
The work of redemption.
The work of redemption.
That gives access. To kingdom wealth,
kingdom wealth
and riches,
and riches.
I superimpose kingdom wealth,
kingdom wealth
and
riches
over my life,
over my life,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and pray that. Let it be established over your life, over your destiny. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are rushing because of time. The last prayer you will pray over your life is the grace of favor. 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 Listen to me. If there is any grace you must not lack in your life, it's favor. It's favor. In fact, prosperity is a product of favor. There is no way you have the favor of God that you will not prosper. But you can have money and not have favor. Esther chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible says, and God gave Esther favor such that they gave her speedily. That's how he puts it. Is it 2 verse 7 or 2 verse 9? 2 verse 9. And she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations. When you read King James translation, he said, he speedily. Are you ready to pray for that grace upon your life? Wait, hold on. Shh, just hold on. You know, you will often hear Apostle Selman said, I prayed for the grace of favor over my life. I did it all. The Bible says, follow those who through faith and patience obtained. I have stretched myself. I've prayed 30 days, prayers of favor. I've done 14 days vigil, prayers of favor. I know what kind of favor to invoke from scripture at any time. There is a favor that brings 24-hour miracle. I know it. Are you ready to pray? In 1 minute, I want you to lay your hands on your head. With your prayers, provoke that grace of favor. From today, let it rest upon your life. Let it rest upon your life. Let it rest upon your life. Favor, 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 favor for resources, favor in finances, favor that compels the heart of men to bless you. Favor, favor, favor. Favor that provokes financial possibilities. Favor for financial miracles. Favor for restoration. Favor for dominion over financial resources. And God gave the children of Israel favor with the Egyptians, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They spoiled the Egyptians. In Jesus'
When the favor of God comes on your life, listen to me. In fact, in seasons of spiritual warfare, one of the strategies to win is to have the favor of God rest upon your life. It was the favor of God on Daniel that made God to deploy angel Michael when the angel carrying the answers of Daniel had been withheld. What did the angel tell him when he came? He said, "Oh Daniel, highly favored." There are seasons where God can give you favor with angelic beings. Angels of the storehouses, angels of the baskets, angels that controls the east wind of abundance, the south wind of Apatokobaya. I'm speaking mysteries. I'm telling you, when those angels hover around your life, lift your hands. I want to speak over your life. Let me start with that grace for favor. Many of you have been under closed heavens for a long time. Many of you have suffered from disfavor. If there's one thing I've seen in my life, is the favor of God. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Such as I have, and such as God has rested upon my life. The God that has given me results that are beyond my age. That God that has given me favor with men and with systems. I pray, may that same favor rest upon your life today. May that favor rest upon your life from today. Hear me? Favor with resources. Favor for opportunities. Favor with the heart of kings and nobles. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Anyone that has been under a closed heaven financially, anyone that has to struggle to do anything, I declare over your heavens today, be open, 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 in the name of Jesus. Everything that makes you struggle as far as financial resources are concerned, from today, by this grace that is upon my life, and by the covenants I have with God and the covenants I'm connected to, I declare that that struggle is over. That plague of shame and reproach is rolled away. Step into uncommon prosperity. Uncommon prosperity. Uncommon prosperity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every devil that has seized and stolen the resources of your destiny, every devil that has seized and stolen the resources of your family, I bind those devils with chains and fetters of iron. And by the fire of God, I command them to live your life forever. Demons of poverty, go now. Demons of lack, go now. Demons of smallness, go now. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for you from today. The wisdom, the power, and the grace that will give you results that are beyond your family lineage. If nobody has ever risen to that climax before, if nobody has gotten to that Rubicon before, you are going to cross that Rubicon from today. The wisdom, the grace, and the power, receive it now. The grace for ancestral breakthroughs, territorial results, receive it in the name of Jesus. Hear me. A pastor spoke to me recently. He's in Canada now. He spoke to me. He says, "Sir, I followed your ministry for a while, and honestly, I've not seen around that side where you are anybody doing what you are doing." The grace that makes you break territorial limitations. If it is a curse that nobody prospers financially,
From today, your life will be the answer to that cause. Step into that grace from today now. In the name of Jesus Christ.
And finally, as we wrap up this financial dominion series, the grace that shifts men to unprecedented levels of prosperity, unprecedented dimensions of breakthroughs as touching financial dominion, the grace that gives you control over resources, the grace that gives you control over the resources of the earth. As we round up this series, may that grace land upon your life now. May that grace rest upon your life now. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's a new day for you. Go and rewrite the stories of your family. Go and rewrite the destinies of men in your lineage. Go and change the status quo from today. Become that financial apostle. Become that deliverer, that savior that God is raising for your territory, for your nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. That curse of Ichabod is rolled away from your life. That curse of Lodebar is rolled away from your life. May your life be an unending fold, an unending unfolding of financial signs and wonders. Therefore, even God your God has exalted you and anointed you with oil of gladness above your fellows. I put you ahead of your companions, ahead of your equals, ahead of your colleagues. Get ready for financial possibilities for today. Listen. There are some of you young people here. Let me prophesy to you because of the grace that has come on your life. Some of you before 25, before 30, you will be a millionaire. Believe me. Some of you even from school, God will give you one idea. One strategy that will turn your family's life around. You will not only set records or break records, you will set records and break them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your time has come. And I declare that these words will be manifested in your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want you to wave your hands in 1 minute and give God praise.
Come receive the harvest. For those who sowed in tears.
Before we go and prophesy to your life,
peace will write in your story now. He's restoring. Come receive the harvest. Come receive the harvest of all your sowing in tears. He's rewriting your story.
Today, listen, before you go, begin to dress, begin to speak, begin to act like where you are going to. Listen to me, this is not ordinary hype. Listen, that which we have seen, we have looked upon, at least I've proven it to a level in my life. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Let me be very honest to you. By the grace of God, we spend in 60s. We have people on scholarship in this ministry. We have families we support. In fact, on a monthly basis, we spend in 60s. Minus running meetings. So, if you are poor, you can't do that. Believe what you have heard tonight. I'm telling you. That once and for all, the devils of your father's house will know that there's one who has broken through. And let me add another prophecy. Any form of witchcraft, any manipulation from your village that is responsible for unprecedented levels of land and property, between now and the end of this year, may the earth swallow those people. Anyone that must go down for you to rise, between now and the end of this year, may the earth open up and swallow them. There are families where they monitor people's financial destinies. No more. No more. Not after tonight. The technology driving your life from today is stronger than 10 shrines put together. I'm telling you what I've seen. I've seen it. If for nothing, God has used my life as a reference point in this territory, that you can break territorial limitations and prosper. That from a dry place like this, nations can hear you. Go with that grace and possess your possession. Surely His goodness and mercy shall follow us.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.